This is the Build Your Online Audience podcast with Janet Murray, episode 439.
You're listening to the Build Your Online Audience podcast with Janet Murray. Tune in every week for practical advice that will help you build your online audience. And now, here's your host, Janet Murray.
Hello and welcome to the show. In this episode, I've got a great interview for you with systems expert Jordan Gill, and she's going to be talking about how you can create a content batching week. So how you might be able to find the time in your schedule, in your diary, to carve out an entire week or an entire block of time to focus solely on content planning and content creation, and also the benefits of doing that. Now, if you're listening to this and perhaps you're running your business alongside kids or your business is a side hustle, you might be thinking, how on earth would I be able to make that happen? If that's the case, don't panic. We're going to be talking about content batching weeks, content batching days as a concept, really. So it's really more about how you can look at the time that you've got available and you can find blocks of time that you can completely block out and you can completely devote to content planning and creation, and also, crucially, the impact that that can have on your business. So I do talk a bit more about this in the interview, but I would never have thought that was possible for me. I'm too busy. I couldn't possibly do that. But I've actually planned my own schedule for 2021. So I have 1 week of the month entirely free where I don't have any coaching calls. I don't have any classes that I'm teaching. And it's just amazing. But if you'd said to me that that would have been possible, I would have said, oh no, it's not possible. I can't work like that. But actually, it is possible to take control of your diary, your calendar. I'm not saying that you're necessarily at the stage where you can do a whole week, but it's about finding those stretches of time, those chunks of time that are going to allow you to be really productive. Now, I'm a little bit excited about this interview, as you'll hear in the opening, because I'm a big fan of Jordan's podcast, Systems Save Me. It's just such a good podcast in terms of practical tips and tactics and tools for helping to create better systems in your business. And I have to say, I'm not naturally a systems person. I am not really naturally a particularly organized person, but Jordan manages to make systems fun and sexy and interesting. Honestly, I promise you, you totally need to start following her. She also brings on some amazing guests to her podcast. So I'm really excited about introducing you to Jordan and her world. I just think you're going to get so much value from not only this interview, but also having more Jordan in your life. Now, before we get into the interview, I did just want to remind you about something really quite relevant, actually. So on the 21st of January, so that's 2021, if you're listening in the future, and I'm pretty sure there's probably some kind of like name about the 21st of the first in 2021. There's probably some kind of like, I know, clever numerical hieroglyphic type thing about that. I hope it's not bad luck or anything. But anyway, I'm running one of my advanced masterclasses on that day on how to create a launch plan. So a question I get asked a lot is, how do I actually put together a launch plan? So I've got a course, or I've got a masterclass that I want to launch. Like, how far ahead should I be planning? Like, what should I put in my plan? Like, how detailed do I need to go? What kind of content do I need to create? And in particular, my area of expertise is around the kind of content that you need to create. But also, we'll be looking at those timescales. And as ever, if you've ever done one of my masterclasses, you'll know I give you templates, I give you swipe files, I give you everything you possibly would need to make it as easy as possible for you to go off and to actually implement what you've learned. So if you're interested in joining that masterclass, then head over to janetmurray.co.uk/how-to-plan-a-launch. So it's janetmurray.co.uk/how-to-plan-a-launch. And you'll either get, depending on when you get there, you'll either get the waitlist or you will get access to the replay of the masterclass if you're listening to it after the date that it happens. But I would love to see you live on the class if you can make it. If not, you can always grab it afterwards. And as I say, really practical templates, tactics, swipe files, whatever I can do to make it easier for you to plan and execute your launch, it will be inside that class. So now I think it's time to get on with the interview and the main part of the show. So welcome to the show, Jordan.
Thank you so much for having me, Janet. I'm really excited about this topic because I'm very passionate about it.
No, I'm very excited. I have to say it's a little bit of a fangirl moment for me because I absolutely love your podcast, Systems Save Me. And systems, they don't come naturally to me. I have to say I'm quite envious. I'm quite envious of your approach. There was something I heard you say actually once on your podcast that you were the kind of person at university that used to spend the first few weeks or college, as you would say, getting all of your assignments done. And I was just like, does anyone actually do that? Like,
yeah.
So I aspire to be someone like you, but I am the person that was handing it in when the ink was drying, in the days when I still had to write my essays by hand. I'm a bit older than you, I think. But yeah, I'm really, really excited about it because, Jordan, you've got a great podcast, Systems Save Me, which we can talk more about as we go. But after me fangirling you, for those people who don't know you and what you do, could you give us a bit of an intro and tell us a bit about you and how you got to do what you do today?
Yeah, absolutely. So, hey, y'all, I'm Jordan, and I am the head honcho over at Systems Saved Me. I've been in business for 4.5, 5-ish years, and I am obviously, with the name of Systems Saved Me, I obviously can geek out about all the automations, integrations, any Asians you really want to come up with. And really, my focus is helping overworked one-woman shows become streamlined solopreneurs, because I really do believe that automations and systems bring about more connection in your life, because there's nothing less connecting than having to do everything manually in your business. That means that you're not connecting with clients. That means you're not connecting with guest podcasting opportunities. That means you're not connecting with collaborators, biz besties, whatever the case may be. And I'm a big fan of connection. It is one of my core values. So when I'm able to set up systems in my business to support me being able to just chit chat, go to events virtually or in person, or again, be on guest podcasts like this, then that's what really fuels me up. So that is my jam. I also help teach people how to create virtual VIP days, because I don't work with anybody long term with monthly retainers. I strictly only do VIP days, and I only have for the past 4 years.
Fab. Okay. Well, there's so much that we could talk about. So on the Build Your Online Audience podcast, like, we focus on audience building, but of course, how do you build your audience generally? That's through great content. So there's so many things that we could dig into. But we're going to start off by focusing on this idea of creating a content batching week. So I was just saying before we got onto this interview that I've just set up my calendar. I've just finished planning everything for the next year. Now, this is like mid-December. So for Jordan, that's probably like, oh my God, how could you leave it so late? I've just come off 2 big events, but I'm there. And one thing I've done for myself this year is I've cleared a week in each month where, if everything goes to plan, I'm not going to be seeing any clients. I've stopped doing coaching this year. I'm only doing VIP days as well. So I've cleared the last week of every month for me to get on with content creation and batching. And I'm so excited about that because it can be so exhausting. I'm sure we'll talk more about that as we go. But so, Jordan, you're going to talk about the idea of creating a content batching week. It's taken me quite a few years to get to this stage where I can do this. But we'll also talk about, well, if you can't clear a whole week, what could you do instead? So yeah, can you talk about this whole idea of a content batching week, like how it can help and how it might work and how you design it?
Yeah, absolutely. So this can be done for any type of content, whether it's writing blogs, whether it's recording videos, whether it's doing podcasts. It's really open to any type of content. So I just wanted to let people know right off the bat that whatever content you're creating, it can be batched. And examples are that I record about 6 months of video content twice a year. Then I also do quarterly podcast batches, again, where it's like a week of podcast interviews. In my videos, actually, I do all the content in a day, which is pretty hardcore. So we'll talk about the week and whatnot. But I've been doing this for quite some time, majority of the time I've been in business, just because I've found that when I'm in my flow and when I get to just sit and talk with amazing guests, or when I can sit and talk in my videos about my content, it comes out better because it's not me squeezing a video in between meetings, or it's not me trying to write a blog post while at the doctor's office, or like whatever the case may be. It's really like a rhythm that you get into when you're able to take, you know, an entire week or an entire day to focus on that content. And for most people, I would say pretty much everybody, there's this notion of context switching. And what that is when you are trying to go and take a client call and then try and write a blog post and then try to record a video and then get on a guest podcasting opportunity, you're having to switch contexts, obviously, anytime you're moving between any of those tasks. And what happens is it takes you about 5 to 20 minutes to adjust to that new type of task. I'm sure, Janet, you've experienced this when you're just like in flow, like you just are whizzing through whatever work that is that lights you up and that you could do for hours without looking at the time. And it's such a joy to feel that way. And even though I would say I've become really great at content, but at the beginning, it took me a while to get into the flow of it. And so for me to just write one-off blog posts or do one-off podcasts, it took a lot out of me versus me setting up an experience a week, a day where I'm sitting there, I've got my candle lit, I've got certain music if I'm doing, you know, in between recording times or if I'm writing, just music while I'm writing. I create an ambiance. I create a very supportive environment to then do my best work. And I think that that's really what this is about, is not squeezing in content when you have spare time or when it's last minute deadlines. It's really about how can I show up my best in my content, and through creating a batch week or batch day, which we can get into the nitty grittiness of it, you really are able to show up or again, write or produce your best content because your focus is all on that. That is the number one focus. And that is how you can really create some of your best content every time.
Yeah. So it's taken me a few years to get to having whole weeks, but I did something a year or two ago where I now keep my mornings free. So it sounds a bit diva-ish, but I don't speak to anyone before 12 o'clock. and it was so much easier than I thought it would be because I'm a morning person. You know, I get up really early and I'm at my most alert. I know other people are different other times of the day, but just carving out that time for me to write, to create content, that's been great. But what I found is as my business has got busier and I've been creating more content, particularly this year, that actually I needed more time. So I've looked at how I can bring that in. And I think that's the thing about context switching as well. If, you know, particularly in the kind of businesses we run where 1 minute you might be doing a one-to-one with a client, next minute, like you say, you might be doing a podcast interview and then you might be trying to write a blog in between doing something else. And like you say, it takes a while to get going and interruption can take you off for 15, 20 minutes or whatever. So the idea of carving out that time is great. Of course, being a last minute person, what's coming into my mind is, you know, my background is journalism. So that's how you get on in journalism, I guess. You can't not be able to do things at the last minute, or you can't not be able to kind of have an idea and run with it. So it's a great skill to have in the right context. But as a result, so somebody like me, and I'm guessing that some listeners might feel this as well, like, but what about if I do 6 months of podcast episodes and then something comes along, like some new platform comes along or some new thing comes along that I feel like I need to talk about, or you know, we're in 2020, there's been quite a few things that have come along and you're like, but I've recorded my 6 months of podcast episodes. How do you negotiate that? I think it's 3 months you do of podcast, isn't it? And then six months of videos.
Yeah, 3 months, So with that, I definitely do mix in. Right now I have a content manager, which is really great and helpful. But what would happen is we review the quarter. And again, we can see, you know, there's International Women's Day on this day. There's National Pineapple Day. Some things that are important to our business. We make highlights. And I will usually, during my batch week, make content that's specific to those types of days. Or we know what our quarter is going to look like as far as, obviously, recording this, we're in quarter four. And we knew that we were going to do a rebrand. And so I did an episode on pre-rebrand. And then obviously when the rebrand happened, I did one in real time so that we'd be able to add that into the mix at that time. So there's a little bit of flexibility in there. And again, it causes you to have to plan a little bit in advance. However, for kind of a lot of the 2020-ness that has happened, for me, I found that my audience has appreciated my consistency more than, oh, well, and no one's really been like, oh, Jordan, you're, you know, recording this so far in advance that like you're not even in touch with really what's happening. Because it's done in quarters, I'm able to catch some of that. I guess, real timeness. And it depends on the type of podcast you have. If you do have like a timely podcast, then it may be easier for you to do a batch a month where you just take a day, 2 days to record the episodes for that month. And you can stay a little bit closer to a timeliness aspect. But for me, I just do podcast interviews. I do sprinkle in some one-on-one singles. So it doesn't necessarily affect my, you know, if I have a guest talking about Instagram stories, I know Instagram stories are probably still going to be relevant for at least a little while. And so it's not going to necessarily affect the relevancy of what I'm talking about with my guests and whatnot. So it works for me. If you are somebody who like, yeah, you're constantly keeping up with like what's new, what's hot, all of that stuff, then I would suggest, it kind of depends on the type. So podcasts, usually you were saying like at the beginning, like, hey, this is episode 203 or whatever the case is. So you would have to adjust obviously the numbers there. But if you're doing like video or if you're doing blog writing, then it's just as easy as like moving a blog post a week so that you can squeeze in that last minute post that's talking about the new hotshot of Clubhouse or TikTok or whatever the case is. So there's still flexibility within the batch weeks if you are a more timely person. The only time that that, I guess, could be changed is if you do single, like one-on-one, just by yourself, podcast episodes, just because a lot of people will say the episode number at the beginning. But there was a time where I didn't say the episode at the beginning, and I was able to switch podcasts if I wanted to, and that made it a lot easier as well.
Yeah, and I think I always say to my clients, because I joke about doing everything at the last minute, but actually I do plan further ahead in some things particularly that I probably give myself credit for. But I think sometimes we can use it as an excuse because there's always a way around it, isn't it? I record my podcast in four parts. So if I decided for some reason that this podcast episode had to go out earlier or later for some reason, if there was some reason why I needed to switch it,
right,
all I'd need to do, it would take me like 2 minutes, not even 2 minutes, just to record a new number or just swap the numbers
around.
Right,
exactly.
So I guess some of it's about your process. But the other thing I think as well with podcasts as well, because I've had exactly the same thing in 2020 where you'd have a podcast lined up and you think, is that going to be, is that right to go out at this time? Or maybe I do need to slot something extra in to kind of recognize it's things that's going on. But you can always like, I mean, I've gone back and re-recorded the intros because I record mine in four parts. So that means that I might have the interview as a separate file and I can just go in and I can re-record the intro. I've even had my editor like re-edit things, but that's much easier to do than to start completely from scratch. It's much easier to do than to set up a new interview, isn't it? Like, and I always think that we used to have, like when I worked in the newspaper, we would have content, which was like, we used to just kind of call it, I think we used to call it in the store cupboard. And basically it would be something that you could bring out. You know, you always had like something in the store cupboard that if something went wrong or for some reason you had an episode lined up and you thought, you know what, I can't put that out this week because that's going to offend people or that's it's just the wrong timing. But then you just go in your store cupboard and say, well, you know, I've got that really good episode on how to create effective testimonials. I can put that out at any time. It's, you know, I can make the intro more timely. So I get it's about a guess. And this is something that comes across to me about a lot of your work is it's having those structures and processes in place that allow you, if you need to be flexible, you can jump in and you can do that.
Yeah, exactly. And actually a good example of this was actually I realized this year with the Black Lives Matter movement, we had an episode going out with a friend of mine, Diane Mayer, and it was about how to build a contingency plan as a normal part of business. And actually she reached out to me and said, hey, I know my episode is coming out like soon. And if you want to move it, I totally understand. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, yeah, we probably should move that just from like a sensitivity perspective. And so it worked out and we moved it about a month out and we moved, you know, a different episode in that I just recorded solo that was a little bit more timely. And so that does happen and you can adjust and move, but it's nice to know that you have the store cupboard of episodes that you can kind of shuffle around versus like, oh crap, I need to hook up my mic. I got to figure out what I'm going to say. I got to fit like all of that stuff takes way more energy than, oh, let me just switch these two episodes or do a new intro.
Definitely. And that was a great episode, by the way. And I reached out to her afterwards. This is the power of podcasts. I reached out to her afterwards and asked her to be a guest on this podcast. So she'll be coming up soon because I was planning an event just listening to it was so helpful actually for the event that I just ran because I thought that we were good at contingencies and then I listened to that episode and I was like, I need to get better. This is really, really good. So that's coming up. coming up probably in quarter one. So let's talk about the design. So you talked about, you know, maybe taking a day to do podcast interviews or doing it across the week. You also talked about, like, creating the right ambience, and, you know, candles, music, all the rest of it. So I think something that a lot of us do, well, I'm speaking for myself here, but I think my clients are the same, is that we often imagine that we can get more done in the time that we have available. So if you're planning a content batching week, like, how do you make sure that you've given yourself enough time to do all the things that you want to do? Is that kind of a work in progress? Like, how do you figure all that out?
Anytime that you do the first of anything, it's not going to go the most streamlined that you want it to go. It really comes with time and practice, because I believe that action breeds confidence. So if you want to get better at something, you need to do it more times. So give yourself some grace on the first time is my first thing. And then from there, I'll give my podcast example as a good one. I usually will. My podcast is like a running podcast. So in December, we do like a recap of the best episodes of the year. But other than that, we have two new episodes going out every single week. And so for me, it's just about having really great guest curation. That's really, really important to me. And now I have Trina, my ops coordinator, handle all of that. And she has my process taken out of my brain, and she's able to do that. But the first part for podcast guesting and whatnot is knowing that you have good guests that have relevant topics for your podcast. Like, for example, we have all of the podcast batch weeks set up for next year. And so once those 20 some spots are taken in January, we have a January batch week, then they start booking for April of the next one. And then we have it for the next time after that. And so it's just kind of rolling. And if people have like a timeliness that they want their episode to go out, that's just not necessarily what we subscribe to. Like, if I get on the interview with them and they say, oh, I'd like this to go out here, we can potentially accommodate. However, it is just a rolling podcast. And for most of my guests, they've understood that. So we structure it over 3 days. So I'm like, again, an Uber batcher, but you can do this over like 5 days, which is what I did before. I do 3 days of 8 episodes each. And because I have about 30 minute episodes, it's really able to keep it really super, super tight. And also with that, you can determine, oh, this guest can't make these times, then they maybe are, again, going to be good for the next batch time, versus trying to be like, oh, well, I'll do this one-off interview for you because I like you, or whatever the case may be. I'm pretty strict about that. And again, for the most part, most guests are okay with that, because it's, you know, you want to be accommodating, you want to figure out how to make yourself available to the guests that you really want on. And it is about how well you show up. I know if I'm going to do an outside interview, meaning like it's not during my batch week, I'm not going to show up as my best like interviewing self, because I've got, again, 17 other things going on at that time and it's not my main focus. So that's why I'm pretty strict about that batch week. And so what that batch week entails for my podcast is those 8 interviews. And again, I have lunches sent in, so I'm not concerned about food. I've got, again, my environment set up for success. And again, if someone doesn't show up, then we go through the batch week and then we're able to pinpoint, okay, well, I'll just do a solo episode for that time, space, or whatever. Or again, we kind of just like roll into the next batch week and maybe add in an extra interview. It just kind of depends how we want to fill that time. And so we look at, okay, how can I get all of the content done? Which is really what the batch week is about, is the actual doing of the content. So writing the blog posts, recording the podcast episodes, or recording the videos. It's not necessarily the post, what I call post-production part, where it's the editing, it's the looking for grammatical errors on your blog posts, all that stuff. I've always hired out my editing because I just don't find that it's a benefit to my time. I don't think it's a benefit to anybody's time, but I also understand if that is part of your process. Here's what I would do in a day is I would literally take a whole day, do all of the actual content, writing, recording, whatever content you create. Then for a whole nother day, I would do all of the editing and just be in editing land for days, just clipping, snipping, all of the things, or again, editing, copy editing your actual blog posts. And then the next day, so maybe it would be about a 3 day process, is in that third day, I would go into, okay, how do I upload it? How do I make sure it's SEO, built for SEO? how am I going to promote this, creating the Canva graphics, stuff like that, more of the promotional elements of the pieces of content. And so that's how you can do it. And again, if you do that once a month, those 3 days, then you're able to just toss in your content and have it pre-scheduled and every month just kind of have that on repeat.
Yeah. And following the same process every time, which I know that you'll have a watertight process as well. A question that I know people have is about ideas. Like, so
yeah.
So in your case, in my case, it's podcast guests. How do you come up with your ideas? Where do you find your guests from? Do you also set aside time to come up with a list of ideas? These are the things that I want to mm-hmm. cover in each quarter. Like, how do you approach that?
Yeah. So for me, podcast guest curation, it's running. And so if I meet someone cool at a virtual event or in-person event or on Instagram, I normally will ask them like, hey, do you want to be on my podcast? And then I let them know to email Trina and to get them all set up. And so it's, again, nice because I already have all of my dates for, you know, the next 4 podcast badge weeks in my calendar. So when I toss somebody to Trina, Trina just lets them know when our next available batch date is and sends them the link to sign up. So that's what's really nice is it's not necessarily, before I had it this, you know, tight, I would just make a list of the names as I met them. And then when I wanted to open the batch week, I would do a batch email of, you know, hey, our next batch week is available, like first come, first serve, find your spot, like super excited to have you on. If, you know, these times don't work for you, maybe next time, or maybe if you're on vacation, next time. Those sorts of things. And that's how I did it when it was just me managing all of that. And then when I do my videos, that is, you know, obviously me on camera and coming up with all those topics, I actually curate those topics. Again, I do it, you know, twice a year. So for the 6 months leading up to that, I'm just tossing in topics onto, again, we use ClickUp and Airtable. So for all of you, tool nerds. Those are the tools that we use for content creation and just keeping track of everything. And so I will keep a running list inside of ClickUp. It's just like a brain dump task for me that's standing. And if I have a really good question on a coaching call inside my program, I'll add it to the topics list. If my content manager, Alice, she sees something in our inbox or sees something on our Instagram that was a really good question, she'll toss it into the topics. And then at that point, right before we do the recording, we'll go through that entire list that we've been literally accumulating for 6 months and pick the best topics and recreate the best titles, stuff like that. And then I'm able to just go in and record from there.
That's amazing. And I'm guessing that you have all of the copy written out, because I often talk about creating functional content and, you know, so I don't know, something like setting up podcast interviews or booking people in, having all of that email content set up, having it automated in Calendly. You can probably imagine how I sent Jordan an email before this interview. And I said, and of all the people in the world, I was like, I think you should have got an automated reminder. Now I don't want to say whether she got it or not, because we have set it all up in Calendly. I was like, the worst thing would be in the world for Jordan Gill not to get my automated reminder. But I don't know. Did you get an automated reminder?
You should. Yeah, we had gotten it actually. So you're all set. But, approved.
But I'm guessing that, you know, it's about sitting down and thinking, okay, how can I make this system as smooth as possible? So one of the worst things about things like podcast interviews or Facebook live interviews or whatever, it's just all that back and forth with email. So
totally,
you're all about using tools, aren't you, to automate all of that and just make it as easy, write all the copy up front, get it all set up.
For podcast stuff, again, it's pretty streamlined because I've done, at this point, I think about 8 or 9 podcast batch weeks, so it's like supercharged at this point. However, it's about creating the same experience for every person that is a podcast guest, because that's really what client experience is about. Is it's about making sure that your clients, your students, your, you know, whoever is in your sphere experiences you the same way. And there's actually was a really great, I don't know if you listen to this podcast, it's a Story Brand podcast with Donald Miller.
Yeah.
And there was an episode with Seth Godin, who just wrote a new book about creatives. And I found it really fascinating. They brought up this notion of consistency versus authenticity. And, you know, Seth Godin was like, authenticity is a trap. And I was like, what is happening? I am all ears perked. I have no, like, that it feels very incongruent. And then you started to talk about how, you know, you think about a Starbucks, for example. So you go to Starbucks because you know you're going to get the same caramel macchiato every single day, whether you're in Paris, Dallas, you know, Buenos Aires, wherever you are in the world. But if the barista in Paris is having a bad day, and that's authentically how they're showing up, you don't want their bad day to affect your caramel macchiato. You want the same caramel macchiato, whether they're upset or whatever the case is. Same thing with like a Beyonce concert or whoever your favorite concert person is or singer-songwriter is. If you buy hundreds of dollars of ticket and you go to the concert and they're having an off day and they sing terribly, you're going to be upset. Even though they may have a bad day or an off day, you're going to be upset because they're showing up authentically that day. Really, you want consistency. And I found that really interesting. And there's like levels to all that conversation that I could go down a total rabbit hole of. But it reminded me that I do really value consistency. And again, for me to show up as my best self, I have to ensure that some of these things are in place, like my environment, like I have all of the information that I need up front for my interviews. And if I don't have that, then I am going to show up less than stellar. And then somebody is going to get me on a, you know, feeling a little ruffled or frustrated. And that's not how I want people to experience me or experience my company. And so that's why the batch week has been so crucial to all of the connections I've made on my podcast. Like, I love my podcast guests. I've done over 200 episodes. And I've been able to go back and collaborate with a lot of my podcast guests because we had such a good experience when we were doing our batch week. And I don't know if I could have said that that would have happened if it was just one-off, you know, podcast episodes here and there recording in between other things I have going on during the day.
Yeah, it makes so much sense. And there's just two other quick things I wanted to ask you. So one was, So if you can't do a podcast week, like, I don't know, you've got kids and you work part-time or for whatever reason, you know, it's a side hustle that you're running. I'm assuming you can kind of micro this. It could be a day, it could be an afternoon or a morning. It sounds like the important thing is just carving out that time and focusing on one thing at a time.
Exactly. 100%. You can definitely do micro days, even if it's a half day, if it's 3 hours, whatever the case is, just carving out that time and being intentional during that time to not have any sort of interruptions or any other tasks besides the task at hand.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. And the question I wanted to finish up with, actually, because there's so many different ways that we can go with this, but it's that message about, you know, focusing on one thing at a time, minimizing distractions, being intentional, stuff that we all know, but it's so easy to forget. So as somebody who naturally, I'd say I'm a very consistent person, but I'm naturally quite chaotic. And I think this year actually has been one of the years, because I'm growing my team, my business has grown quite a lot in a short space of time this year, which is great, but I've brought new people on board and that brings new problems. But I'd say that the most important thing I've had to learn in my business, and I'm still learning it every day, as quite a naturally chaotic person, is to kind of bring in these systems and processes. And once I get in there, I'm great. But my natural tendency is just basically start in the middle, like, of everything. Like, I just kind of like, hey, I'm going to do this thing. And I started working, actually, we've been working with a lady called Amy Mitchell, who's come in to help set up Asana for me to use with my team.
Nice.
And which is great. You know, she's gone through and we're all sort of getting used to using it together. We were kind of using Slack and Google Drive, not particularly effectively. And that was what made me realize my natural instinct is to start everything in the middle. And when I realized, you know, that I just needed to kind of take quite a few steps back before I started everything, that was quite a big moment for me. So what I'm getting to with my question, which is as rambly as my approach to planning sometimes, is can you learn? Because you sound to me like, and I might be wrong, but having listened to your podcast and listened to various things that you said, that you're, you know, naturally quite an organized person. Mm-hmm. And like, you're sat in your kitchen, like, and your kitchen looks really organized and tidy. And I know I've heard you talking about having a really lovely, like, cleaning being your go-to thing when, you know, when you've got stuff on your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think people can learn to be organized? And what have you seen in your own clients? Because I know you've worked with, you've helped a lot of people. You've just gone in and helped them sort their systems out.
I'm actually naturally a very forgetful person. And so I don't want my forgetfulness to get in the way of my clients, my students, whoever I come across, to experience that fact about me. And so I think that there's, you know, whether you're forgetful or disorganized or whatever the case, systems really can help support you in having a great client experience. That's always my thing. I believe that not everybody is going to become a total systems ninja by any means. However, I do think that people can put on the systems hat when need be. I think it's kind of like, I think it was like in 2011, I'm not a runner. I don't associate, identify as a runner at all. However, I was like, you know what? I am going to try and become a runner. And I signed up for a half marathon and I trained, obviously, and did all of the running things. And then I went and I finished the half marathon in New York City. It was a really fun time. And so when I tell people I've done a half marathon, they're like, oh, you're a runner. And while I think that we wait for this moment to be like deemed or crowned or whatever, this identity of a systems person, a runner, a you know, graphic designer, whatever it is. And really it comes from, again, action and doing. And so you don't have to have the most robust systems or the most complicated funnels or things to be able to enjoy the benefits of systems. And so whether that is you hiring it out and you just, you know, learning the 10% of what they helped you with, then that's still more than you were beforehand. I think it's really important, and I'm very big on this, is everybody focusing on their strengths and hiring out or finding ways to eliminate their weaknesses. And so if you are not a natural systems person and it takes you out of your flow to do systems, then I would say it probably is going to be best for you to hire that out, because again, it's important. It's what every business needs. Even if, you know, you're a business that's small, you shouldn't be doing everything manually. That's just, you know, doing the same thing over and over again, just, you know, leads to insanity. So do I believe people can become, you know, systems ninjas and all that stuff? Absolutely, if they want to. However, if that's not your natural workflow, then I would encourage you to set it up as best as you can, you know, lean into resources. There's like so many free resources. You can listen to my podcast. I have bajillions of episodes on all sorts of systems, and take a moment to move through it. The benefits of systems is you really can set them up and kind of leave them be. I've had the same client management system for 4 years. I have not touched it. So it really can allow you to set it up once and then stay in your zone of genius as much as possible.
Yeah, no, I think a lot of that really makes sense. And so one of the things that we're doing actually is that we're hiring an online business manager / content manager, because we produce so much content to help me with deadlines. Because actually, I quite like getting into an Asana project and like picking it apart. And, you know, as long as I can remember to start in the right place and not start in the middle, which is my natural inclination. But that in itself was quite an insight. But actually, I've realized I need people to set deadlines for me, because I just think I can get everything done. It's actually not so much me, because I'm pretty quick actually, but it's obviously when you're working with a team and you're expecting them to work at the same pace as you, and that's not fair. So I'm hiring somebody specifically to come in and to actually kind of set the deadlines for the projects, you know, give everything about 2 more months than I would give it. Anyway, it's been amazing. And thank you. I wish we could talk for longer, but it's been absolutely brilliant and so much value in there. So where is the best place? I'm guessing what you're going to say for people to find you if they want to know more about you.
Yes, obviously you guys are podcast listeners. So go and check out the podcast Systems Saved Me. That's plural systems. It'll pop up if you put the word systems in it. Thank you, SEO. And you can also find me on Instagram. That is where I love to chat with people, DM. And so again, Instagram is Systems Saved Me as well. But also my website has a bunch of different resources. You can ping around there, systemsavedme.com.
Brilliant. Well, thank you so much. It's been absolutely amazing. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
So I hope you found that useful. And if you'd like to join me on my masterclass on how to create a launch plan for a product or service, then head over to janetmurray.co.uk/how-to-create-a-launch-plan. So that's janetmurray.co.uk/how-to-create-a-launch-plan.
If you've enjoyed this week's episode of the Build Your Online Audience podcast with Janet Murray, do check out her Build Your Online Audience program over at buildyouronlineaudience.com. The Build Your Online Audience program is the essential resource for anyone looking to build an engaged online following. If you want to attract more leads online so you can stop wondering where your next sale is coming from, or if you want to launch a dream project like an online course, book, or podcast, the Build Your Online Audience program has everything you need to grow an engaged online following. Head over to buildyouronlineaudience.com to find out more.